Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message. So with that said, allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you and praise you. Lord, we exalt you and we magnify you. Lord, I'm asking, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 So let's go to the screen here. I've entitled this morning's message, The Great and Mighty Exodus. The Great and Mighty Exodus. I heard it said the other day, I was listening to a podcast, and I never heard it like this, but the rapture is basically an exodus. In other words, God is exiting his church from the earth. Amen? And so we're going to look at scripture and confirm all this. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Ecclesiastes 1 and 9. And let's allow the Holy Spirit to have his way. Amen? And we got some scriptures we're going to cover today and some things that we're going to bring out. So here we go. In Ecclesiastes 1, 9, that which has been is what will be. That which is done, what will be done. And there is nothing new under the sun. Can I get amen? Yeah. Nothing new is under the sun. So in other words, in essence, what this means, that things that happened in the past will repeat itself. They're like patterns and cycles with God. Can I get amen?
Amen.
And so, here's a question for us. Is the rapture of the born-again church imminent? Notice I said born-again church. He's not coming for those who haven't been born again. Because we're going to look at in Scripture, in order to be born again, you have to have what? Oil in your lamp.
Yeah.
Can I get an amen?
Yeah.
Just because you say you're a Christian doesn't mean you have oil in your lamp. You have to be born again. And so, is it imminent? One more time. We've seen this before. We'll see it again. But trumpets is going to be the next prophetic fulfillment, I believe, and it's going to happen soon. Very soon. Could it be this year? Maybe. Could be next year? Maybe. It's going to happen soon. Can I get amen? And we're going to look, we're going to see the emergence and the convergence that's taking place to give us a hint of this is an imminent event that's going to take place. And it's going to be a two-day feast. I want you to catch this. You see this? Trumpets? Notice it says Tishri 1 and 2. So what does that mean? 1 and 2. It's a two-day feast. Okay, and we're going to see why they call it. It's the only feast of the seven that they don't know what day or hour that it begins. And how do they know when it begins? We're going to look at it in a few minutes. Remember Jesus said no one knows the day or the hour? See, in the English connotation, the West, we got it all wrong. The apostles knew what he was talking about. And we're going to look at that in Scripture. We're going to look in Scripture. Amen? So that's going to be the next greatest event, is the Feast of Trumpets. My take is this. We're going to exit out of this world, and as soon as we're gone, then the judgment will hit the earth. Because we're not appointed unto wrath. Can I get amen? How many are so blessed to know that we're not appointed unto wrath? Right now we're seeing the wrath of man, but no one has seen the wrath of God. And you don't want to see the wrath of God. There's going to be chaos everywhere. And one of the things that is going to bring total chaos to this world is our close loved ones, friends, co-workers that we told over and over about Jesus is coming for us, and then we're gone.
and they can't find us no more. Don't you think that's going to bring sheer panic? It'll be a shriek down their back. They're going to weep and wail and mourn for us because we're not going to be here for them no more. We're going to be out of their sight, gone. Don't you think that would bring chaos? That alone is going to bring fear. And just imagine what they're going to see on the earth. The judgment of God. All those that refuse the grace of God, the mercy of God. They're all going to experience that thing that Jesus talked about. So, we're going to look at the prophetic emergence and convergence. See, never before, until the past 77 years, we couldn't tie this together. Because prior to that, people didn't have a clue what the prophetic scriptures meant, how it's been revealed to us today. Remember Daniel said, shut up the book, close it until the end? So the mystery has not been opened up until our generation. Our generation now sees the prophetic significance to the end days. And so let's go to Matthew 24. Look at this. Matthew 24, 3-14. Now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these be? When will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? Jesus answered and said to them, take heed no one deceive you. Turn to your neighbor and say, let no one deceive you. Oh yeah, you're gonna have Christian friends go, oh man, they've been saying that all the time. Yeah, right. Yeah, he ain't coming back for another 100 years.
Come on.
Really? For many will come in my name saying I am the Christ and will deceive many. Look at this in verse 6. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation. What? And kingdom against kingdom. And earthquakes in various places. Look at this. All these things are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up into the tribulation and kill you. And you will be hated by all nations for what? My name's sake. Wow. Wow, for my name's sake. Look at this. Verse 10. And then many will be offended and betray one another. And hate one another. There's people that hate us right now.
Yeah.
There's people on the job. You know, you say, hey, you know what? Can you not say those words and right now? You know, they get mad. They act like you slapped their lips right there. Look at this. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Grow cold. I just shared with you. I came from a church of 3,000. Now there's only 150 left. The love of many has grown cold. There's people no more in church. They don't want the things of God. Too many things are too important for them. But he who endures to the end. Endures for the end. Not make it to the end. Endures. Endure this walk. Endure the call. Endure serving. Endure worshiping him. Can I get amen?
Amen?
Those who endure that to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness. God has called us to be a witness to all the nations. And then the end will come. So, he talked about wars, rumors of wars, right? Earthquakes, pestilences. Look at this. There are 56 current wars in our world today. I just named a few. The Russian-Ukraine war. The Israel-Palestinian war conflict. The Sudanese civil war right now. The Myanmar civil war. They're all fighting right now. Conflict in Sahel region. In Burkina. In Faso. In Niger. The Syrian civil war. The Yemeni civil war, Pakistan and India, they're ready to nuke each other. Did you know that those two have nukes? There's 9 countries now that have nukes. And they're all at war. Jesus said that when you see this convergence at the end, there's going to be a time of war. And we're seeing this. We just got through bombing Iran. Huh? 56 current wars right now in the world. And then he talked about what? Pestilences, right? Look at this. Current known plagues, pestilence. There's AIDS, influenzas, which are flus, measles, chicken pox, smallpox, mumps, COVID-19. Say, you okay, sister? You need a mask? No, I'm just playing. Just playing with you, sister. I'm just playing with you. Don't wear one in here. Those days are over. Can I get an amen? Those days are gone. Yeah, come on. Smallpox, mumps, COVID, all that. Look, we just got through with COVID, didn't we? Man. And it's not over. There's still people getting slapped upside the head with it. Oh, yes. Known plagues. Now, he said also what? Earthquakes in diverse places? Look at this. Earthquakes and tsunamis. 2011 was the Great East Japan Earthquake. And look at this. Look at the 2004 Sumatra, Indonesia tsunami. 9.1 earthquake that ruptured 1,300 kilometers long segment of the Sumatran megathrust. This huge rupture caused an uplift on the ocean floor, created a devastating tsunami wave that reached over 98,000 feet high. This terrifying wave hit coastal areas in 14 countries, killing an estimated 228,000 people, with Indonesia, Sri Lanka, India, Thailand suffering the most deaths. So look at this. I found this chart. I don't know if you could see it from there. The 10 biggest earthquakes recorded in our generation. Look at that. The biggest one was in Chile in 1950. It was a 9.5. It devastated all. It moved the plates. Jesus said in the last days, we would have earthquakes like this. Giant ones. Big ones. Some people think California is going to fall off into the ocean. And then there's a few here. I could have listed at least 20. False prophets who don't talk about sin. They don't talk about sin. They will not mention sin. It's la-di-da-da-da, tiptoe through the tulips. They will not talk about it. Joel Osteen was on one of the talk shows and said, how come you don't talk about sin? He goes, well, you know, because God is grace and merciful. Yes, he is. God is love. Yes, he is. But so you don't let people in your big mega church stay in sin. Sleeping with one another. In and out of bedrooms. Still drug using. Yeah, not for me to judge.
Don't judge me. I believe in science.
Jesus said it was going to be like the days like Lot and Noah. Look at Luke 17:28 here. Likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained what? Fire and brimstone from heaven destroyed them all. Even so, it will be, look at it, in the last day when the Son of Man is revealed. What? How is he going to be revealed? When he comes and takes the church. It's going to be that fast. His wrath is going to come. It's going to be like this. We're gone. And the judgment comes. That fast. That judgment's going to come quick around the world. And God's going to give us a way of escape. Because we're not what? Called. We're not called to a day of wrath.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God.
Thank you, Jesus. I mean, just in common sense. Oh, let's just have common sense here. Why would God beat up his bride and she comes to the altar with a fat lip and black eyes and body bruises everywhere? Beat up! And then says, I've been waiting for you. Would you do that to your fiancé? Oh, I need to get it all out now. No, you don't. That's right. Come on. He's not going to put the church through that punishment. Look at this. In Matthew 24:37. But as the days of Noah were, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man be. As for in the days before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, giving in a marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. And did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will be the coming of the Son of Man be. So, we've seen pestilences just now. We've seen false prophets. We've seen what else? Wars and rumors of wars. The biggest sign of them all would be what? The return of Israel. In 1948, the birth of Israel. In 77 years, Israel has become a powerful country with a devastating Mossad intelligence and powerful military, second best air force in the world. Enormous exports of natural gas, fruits, and vegetables. This little nation that the majority of the whole Middle East wants them dead and destroyed, God has raised up to be one of the most powerful in the world. My. Look at this. King David wrote this in Psalms. When the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory. See, they're built up now. They got the devastating military. They have their government in place. Their people has all come back from the land. They're still coming in, making aliyah. It's built up. Where 77 years ago, it was what? It was a desolate desert. And now it's a thriving nation. Just in 77 years, when the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory. Wow. That should give us a clue. He's around the corner. I can hear the footsteps of the Messiah. Hallelujah. He's coming. Come on, you need to tell people he's coming. Get your motor ready. Look at this. God's promise to take his church home before his wrath is poured out. Before his wrath. Now, how many know that Jesus was a Galilean? How many know that his disciples were Galileans? So, the tradition with the Galileans was all about a wedding. They were big on weddings and how the father and the son would seek out the bride. And then they would greet and make that covenant, that contract in the beginning. And then what? A year later, he would come back for his bride. How many remember the video I showed before the wrath? Who saw it? Raise your hand if you saw it before the wrath. Oh, yes. Let's get reminded here in Matthew 25. Look at this. He told his disciples, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have not told you so. Look at this. I go to prepare a place for you. Turn to your neighbor and say, Jesus has prepared a place for you. Yes, he has. Yes. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. That where I am, there you may be what? Also. And when I go, you know, and the way you know. Praise God. Praise God. Look at this in verse 5. Thomas said to him, Lord. Oh, wait. Verse 5. I don't have it up here. You got your Bibles with you? Matthew 25, 5. Matthew 25, 5. No, I know. I don't have it up there, I said. We just read that. So we're going to verse 5 now. It won't. It's not there. It's the wrong one. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to them, Wise, give us some of your oil, for your lamps are what? Going out. My. And I knew I had it up here. No. Here we go. But the bridegroom was delayed. They all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, Give us some of your oil, for your lamps are going out. Listen, we have no Holy Spirit to give to nobody. Can I get an amen? And every ounce that you have, you better cherish it. It's ours. It's yours. Can I get an amen? You ever heard that saying? You got to get your own. Huh? You got to get your own. Right? Look at verse 11. Oh, verse 9. But the wise answered, saying, No, lest there should be not enough for us. But you go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went in with them to the wedding. And the door was what? Shut. My. Look at this. Afterward, the virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. Okay, I need you to just remember that verse 13. Just remember that. We're gonna hit that again, okay? But I need you to see this. This is 5 minutes. Regarding what we just read about Jesus coming back for his bride.
As we head back to the time of Christ, the sun has now set on Cana. And just as Jesus warned the world will fall asleep in the last days, tonight so have many of the Galileans. But tonight, the groom's hour has finally come.
The bridegroom knows the day is coming, but he sleeps with his groomsmen. They're all over the floor, perhaps in a small room, and the father makes the decision, now's the time.
The Father has decided that now is the hour His Son will retrieve His bride.
Thank you.
The son leaps to his feet, and he grabs a shofar, a ram's horn trumpet, and he lets go a blast to wake up the entire village. It's a marvelous scene, but it's meant to wake up not only the village, but the bride and her family.
It was during hours of unexpectedness, that it would have been in the very early hours of the morning, even at midnight, where the bride would be hearing that cry, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh." And she was to rise up, she was to get her lamp trimmed, she was to be now executing her preparedness.
The wait is over, and the groom is finally on his way to be united with his bride. As they move through the town streets, trumpets blare loudly to not only wake the bride, but also the guests that were invited to the wedding feast. Only those that were prepared could quickly rise and join the concession.
The bridegroom and his groomsmen now exit the house. They go out of the compound, begin to serpentine through the streets of the village until finally they come near the bride's house, and as the bride comes into view, what a shockingly beautiful scene it must be. There in the middle of the night, you have a row of women with the bride in the middle, all the bridesmaids dressed in their white linen robes. And in the center, the bride dressed in her beautiful bridal gown.
After a year of preparing and waiting, they are finally together again. Reunited as one forever.
Parade led by the bridegroom now rush up towards the bride and her family and all the people that are standing there, the bridesmaids, and the two men with the litter set the litter down on the ground in front of the bride. And she very, very modestly steps out onto the litter and she lowers herself down.
The bride did not simply follow her groom back to the father's house, but she was lifted into the air. In fact, the ancient Galileans referred to this moment as flying the bride to the father's house.
She's lifted up off the ground. She's escorted with him back to that place of preparation. It speaks, it shouts all about God's grace. It's not her effort. She was just to be ready because she loves him. She's borne aloft. She's taken away with him. It's all about the grace of God. It's about the grace of God from the beginning all the way through to now to the end.
There are multiple chilling similarities between this cultural practice and descriptions throughout the Bible regarding what theology has coined the rapture, a moment that believers are caught up in the air to be with the returning Messiah at the end of days.
This makes me think of something, that when the bride is lifted off the ground and they carry her off the ground, as it were flying her to the Father's house, doesn't this sound like Jesus collecting his bride off the earth to join him in the air?
Absolutely, I believe that. Without question, without question. The clues that were given in Scripture all speak with specificity to this exactly being the rapture. This is the reason why he's coming to take us. Why would a bridegroom come and take the bride unless it's to marry her? From that moment on, we will always be with the Lord. Just like a husband and a wife are one. They cannot be separated anymore. This is why I believe the rapture is such an amazing thing.
Amen. Praise God. I find that that little illustration, sometimes you have to put it to a picture form to get a true understanding of, notice that how she was lifted up and carried back. They're the key of what Jesus was talking about, the rapture. He's going to lift us up, and we're going to go right straight to the Father's house. No differently. Man. And I believe it's coming soon. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Thank you, God. Now, remember, let's go back. The huge misconception on verse 13 of Jesus coming for his bride. We're going to go back here and look at 13. Look at this. Watch therefore, for you not know whether the day or the hour which the Son of Man is coming. I've heard it throughout my whole Christian life. You don't know when he's coming. No one knows the day or the hour. But unless you know it in the Hebrew connotation, you're never going to know. I gave three of our men Genesis that's in Hebrew. It's called a phonetic Bible. You got the Hebrew language written down from right to left. Then you got the pronunciation verse, and then you had the English verse. Unless you know the Hebrew root to the word, this will be like everyone else is saying, well, no one knows the day or the hour. We know the feast. We know the feast. And guess what? The apostles and disciples knew it too. I'm going to prove it to you right now in Scripture. And not from Pastor Fee, but from me. Can I get amen? So let's go back here. The huge misconception on verse 13, Jesus is coming for his bride. He's also mentioned as a thief in the night. You ever heard that one?
Yeah.
He's coming like a thief in the night. No one knows the day or the hour, right? Okay. They're right when they say that. Because an unbeliever or someone that's playing church that's not looking for his return are not going to know. Because it's business as usual. They have no desire for his return. They're not even looking. They're caught up with the cares and the affairs of this world. But let's look at this scripture, and then we're going to break it down after this one. You always see me preaching this. We're going to preach it at the very end again. But in 1 Thessalonians 4:13, but I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep. That means who has died, lest you sorrow as others have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. Okay, so the dead are going to rise up. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will what? Descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. The dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall what? Be caught up together with them in the cloud. Notice he's not touching the floor. He's not touching the land. This is not his second coming. His second coming will be on the feast of Yom Kippur, when he puts his feet on the Mount of Olives. And then the 1,000-year millennial reign will begin. This is the rapture of the church. The taking away. The bride that he's coming for. Because he's got to remove us before the wrath can be poured out. Hallelujah. Come on, this got to be clear to you now. Look at this. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, frighten one another. No, comfort one another with these words. Amen. Listen, the Apostle Paul and his disciples clearly understood that the day and the hour was the new moon sighting on the Feast of Trumpets. Let's look at this for a moment. The new moon sighting on the Feast of Trumpets, also known as Rosh Hashanah, is a significant two-day event in the Jewish faith, marking the start of the civil new year and the beginning of the fall feast season. Look at this. It's a time of introspection, repentance, seeking forgiveness, observed with the blowing of trumpets, special sacrifices, and a proclamation of the feast. All this takes place on that feast. And it's also the sighting of the new moon by witnesses that signals the start of the month of Tishri, which includes what? The Feast of Trumpets. So, the Feast of the Lord, the rapture, Jesus in the Feast of Trumpets. Here's a more explained detail. Look at this. We got to look at through a biblical lens. Can I get amen? Amen? The Feast of Trumpets is one of the biblical feasts commanded in the Torah, specifically mentioned in Leviticus, right up here. Look at this. Leviticus. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath rest, a memorial of the blowing of the trumpets, a holy convocation. You shall not do any customary work on it. And you shall offer an offering made by fire, what? To the Lord. Saints, it is the day of rest, marked by the blowing of the trumpets, a call to assembly, a reminder of God's presence and sovereignty. Once again, it's the new moon. In ancient Israel, the new moon was a significant event. It marked the start of the Hebrew month and was determined by the sighting of the first sliver of the new moon by two witnesses. Sighting an announcement on the new moon was sighted and confirmed by witnesses. The month of Tishri began, and the Feast of Trumpets was announced with the blowing of trumpets, the shofar. Thank you, God. There it is. That's what the new moon looks like. It's a sliver. So that sliver either came on Tishri 1 or it fell on Tishri 2. No one knew the day or the hour when they would see the sighting. Are you understanding this? That's why it's a two-day event. It's a two-day event. Look at this. The significance, the Feast of Trumpets, is not only a time of remembrance, but also a time of judgment, with a strong emphasis of introspection, repentance, leading up to the Day of Atonement. Notice everything is going to take place on his feast days. And it's also, look at the modern observance. The Feast of Trumpets, or Rosh Hashanah, is celebrated as the new year with the blowing of the shofar as a central element. Now, let's look at this. The symbolism. The Feast of Trumpets is associated with several symbolic themes, including the marriage of the Messiah, the resurrection of the dead, and the crowning of the king. Now, remember that, and the time of mystery. The exact day and hour of the Feast of Trumpets were known in advance, adding a sense of mystery to its observance. Paul and his disciples, saints of God, understood clearly what Jesus spoke about not knowing the day or the hour. Remember this scripture we just read? Watch therefore, for you do not know neither the day nor the hour which the Son of Man is coming. Well, here's the answer. Thessalonians. It's found in Thessalonians. But you got to search out the scripture. Can I get amen? Right here in Thessalonians 5:1. Look at this. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. He comes as a thief in the night, right? He comes to the thief in the night for all the unbelievers. But look what he says here. For when they say peace and safety, then what? Sudden destruction comes upon them, and labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. Oh, but point to your neighbor and say, but you, brethren. Here it is. But you, brethren, look at this. You are not in darkness. So that this day should overtake you as a thief. So when this day happens, it's not going to happen like oh my gosh, I didn't know you were coming. No, the world's going to say that. We know he's coming. Look at this. So that this day should not overtake you as a thief. You are all the sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. The people in dark don't know this day that's coming. They have no clue. They have no desire for the word of God. They're not in church. You could try to prod them and pull them, but they have nothing to do with God. So when Jesus comes, it's going to be like a thief in the night to them. But we're not in darkness. We're waiting for him to come. We know he's coming. Amen. Look at this. Therefore, he tells us this in verse 6. Look at this. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night. Those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet of the hope of salvation. Hallelujah. Look at this. Here's the key. Here, this is what needs to really get into your bosom. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we shall what? Live together with him. Therefore, comfort. Why does he always say comfort? Comfort one another. Edify one another. Just also as you are doing. Praise God. Praise God. But look what Daniel says. Daniel 12:4. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall what? Increase. So, we're living in a generation where these things now are being revealed to us. This wasn't revealed to anyone 100 years ago. But when Israel became a nation, things have accelerated. Yeah. Can I get an amen?
Yeah.
Listen, 120 years ago, man was still riding horses. Oh, yes. Dirt floors. There was no one flying in the airs. Look what happened in 120 years. Now we can fly in the sky at Mach 9, faster than the speed of sound. How did everything change? How did everything change, saints of God? How many's ready? How many can't wait? How many can't wait? How many can't wait? That's the next greatest event. Listen, I always said it best. If this trumpets this year comes and goes, he's given us another year. He's given us another year to sow, to win, to pray, to serve. Amen? But things are converging. When those 2 days come, for the 2 days... He's gonna be on my mind, Lord. I'm ready, Lord. If it's today, come for me, God. I'm ready. Amen. How many can't wait for that day? Or are you gonna stay in your body that's decaying, getting old, getting what's that word? Deprick. There's a word for it. Deprickit. Yes. Say that again. Yes, that word. That's the word. That's the word. Yeah, that's the one. Thank you, Jesus. This body's failing us, saints. And we need to be quickened. Can I get amen? We need to know that he's coming soon. I truly think that we're gonna see some things up to those 2 days from now on, from this day on to there. And you know, The world right now hates our guts. It hates our guts. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. We're hated.
They hate you, they hate Jesus.
That's Jesus. If you're a follower of Christ, they hate you. And they don't even know why. It's a spirit of deception. It's very demonic. And so, I read these scriptures. We're going to read them again. And then we're going to close. Amen. Here we go. But I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you saw as others have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who what? Sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself, say that with me, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be what? Caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, scare one another. No, comfort one another with these words. And then Paul had, listen, I've always said it like this. It takes two or three witnesses to establish a truth. Can I get an amen? So you could build a doctrine off of Thessalonians, but then when you got Corinthians, now you're seeing this is a witness. So he spoke to the Corinthian church. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. In other words, we're bound by the law of gravity. The law of gravity keeps us to this earth. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed we don't just float away? No, we're bound by Newton's law of gravity. It says, look at this. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all die. That's what sleep means. In other words, not all of us are going to go into the ground. Praise God. And if he comes in those 2 days coming up, hallelujah, he's going to take us from our feet. Can I get an amen? I'd rather go that way. Come on, huh? How many would rather go that way? I don't want someone over my casket. And then you have to struggle with that last breath. And then you're gone. I don't know so many I've seen. I don't know how many I've seen take that last big breath and then they're gone. Watch yourself, sister, over there. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. How many can't wait to be changed? In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible. Meaning, we're not going to have this corruptible body no more. And we shall be changed. Look at this. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal, meaning we're temporary, must put on immortality, meaning living forever. And when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it's going to be just like this. When he comes, it's going to be just like this.
Jesus Christ is coming back for his church. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 42, watch therefore, for you do not know the hour your Lord is coming. I want you to know, church, that Jesus Christ could come this month. Or he might come next week. Or he could even come...
Well, this is how you get ready. He preached his very first sermon after he got filled with the Holy Ghost. Then Peter said to them, repent. Let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. Remission means forgiveness. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is what? To you and to your children and to all afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. Praise God. Come on, give God a shout of praise. Listen, those of you that are on YouTube and Facebook, maybe you haven't given your heart to Christ. You're watching not by coincidence, but this is a divine appointment for you. If you've never given your heart, I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family to pray with me, to pray for you, and watch God do the miraculous. Miraculous in your heart. Pray this prayer about faith. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me. And the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout. Hallelujah.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.